With the rise of the internet, web videos, and reality TV, queer artists have access to an unprecedented amount of visibility. And while it seems the possibilities of having a real career as a drag queen are endless, is it really so easy? Getting inspired to do the actual work and finding your people can seem overwhelming, especially when you're broke.
Today, Muffy Fishbasket, the campy queen from Camp Wanakiki, joins us to talk about how to make it work when the work seems daunting. Listen as Muffy chats with us about all the shenanigans on reality TV shows with drag queens, reading books to the children on story time with drag queens, and constructive ways to address injustice without burning bridges.
Plus, Ellen Page comes after Chris Pratt and his hate-filled church.
Netflix is asking you, stop saying Ted Bundy is hot.
And the shadiest crayons ever. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people like you. Thank you. Right now, we need your help. After many years of creating podcasts and videos you love, our dear computer can't take it anymore and is ready to go to the great big recycling bin in the sky. It is heartbreaking to be in this situation.
Visit GoFundMe.com/Feast of Fun Computer right now and give any amount. Help us reach our goal of saving the show's podcasting computer. Every dollar you give goes directly into making Feast of Fun last for years to come. We know we can count on you to make a big difference and continue the show. Thank you for loving Feast of Fun.
Thank you very much. Once again, the link is GoFundMe.com/Feast of Fun Computer.
Today's queen on Feast of Fun is the campy gal who reads good books and bad people, Muffala Fish Basket.
That's me.
Also known as Muffy Fish Basket.
Yeah.
Welcome. Well,
this is like my 10th time on the show.
Is it really?
Am I meeting, like, have I broken the record?
I haven't
for the most queens on your show?
No.
Or most times?
Most times. I would say the drag queen that's probably come on a show the most is probably Peaches Christ, right? She's been coming on for at least a decade, a few times a year,
if not more.
I would have her every
now
week.
Now I know
I could,
what my goal is.
She's a busy girl.
Well, yeah.
And you are too, right?
On productions.
How's like, reading the books to the children?
reading children?
What is it officially called? It's story time
with drag queens. And that actually was a mistake because I think the national one is story hour with drag queens or something like that. But I was like, ugh, we already got the posters out. We're doing it this way. Story time with drag queens.
We have this amazing footage of you reading to children and the children just with stars in their eyes.
I forgot that you came and filmed that.
Is she from RuPaul's Drag Race?
Yeah, no.
And I was like, yes!
Yeah, she'll
no.
be on someday.
Someday I'll be on it to judge.
What did you think when you saw the news article about the guy who came into the library, and I forget which state it was, and they were reading to children, and he had a gun on them?
I didn't know that. I know of all the other ones where it's like they bust people in. I didn't hear about the one with the gun. Yeah, where was this? Like, it was in the South, wasn't it?
I believe it was somewhere in the South, and I guess he'd also, like, at some point in time, he had been banned from the library because he was filming children. So I'm just kind of like, these people that get upset about drag queens have real issues.
Well, it's tricky, you know? It's like you're dealing with people's kids, and it's a very delicate space.
Right.
And, you know, it for bringing a drag queen to read children's books in any kind of public setting is a real achievement.
Yeah, totally. And it's spread.
Now, there's other queens that are doing this and stuff. Are you guys all getting along with each other? Because I don't know, some queens would be like, don't come after my gig. Reading to kids is my job.
Actually, there's, Ginger Forrest is doing it. And all of a sudden, I get like this message from Ginger, and she's like, so I heard that you're upset about me. And I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, girl, it's just a bunch of queens trying to create drama where there is no drama.
So
I was
officially,
like,
Ginger, if you're listening, you're cool with it.
I mean, everybody, I mean, there's multiple story times that have gone on.
Yeah. It's it's kind of like telling, like having a drag show and being like, no other drag queen can do a drag show. Okay.
Right.
But I think this is a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. If drag queens all start feeling a passion.
I just want everybody to know mine's the original and there is.
You copied it from somebody else. No,
mine's the original in Chicago.
In Chicago.
I was the first.
If drag queens feel a passion for civic duty and service, and imagine if all the queens are like, registering people to vote is my gig.
But that's kind of what drag used to be. Now everybody just sits behind a keyboard. And they're like, I'm mad at you, so let's start this, light those pitchforks and torches and and let's go after each other, that sort of stuff. Whereas it used to be that, where it was like we were out marching, we were out throwing stones, we were out, you know. And
if you were
like,
going to come for a bitch, you were going to put cayenne pepper in her wig.
Girl,
you
know? And crushed up glass in her eye makeup. That's how it worked. That's why you brought an extra pageant gown, because the first one was going to be shredded.
And you put blazer blades in your hands in case she tried to.
But no. I mean, we used to be really socially active, like out in the world, and with the numbers that we did and what we said, I did a full on like fuck Trump sort of thing, like where I came out of the Statue of Liberty and I like ripped that off and I had a Trump t-shirt on, and then I gave everybody Sharpies and they all drew all over him, and then I ripped that off and underneath it said fuck Trump and drag the vote, and it was like people went nuts for
it. Oh yeah,
they went nuts for it because it wasn't 35 death drops in a row.
So do you hate Coco Chanel or just her in general?
Who's Coco Chanel?
I don't know her. Who are you talking about? I love Coco.
I was just because, you know, like queens going after each other on social media, and they're all like, well, you talk about drag queens on your podcast. I'm like, you're here in the room with me.
Yeah.
Right.
And I know who Coco Chanel is, but for the audience.
Coco is your bestie.
She's one of my sisters. Yeah. I mean, we started, well, she was actually at the call before I was. But I mean,
the closest gay bar to our house.
Yes,
I'm going to count the steps someday and see how many exactly steps away.
So you know how many it takes you to stumble home.
I can just roll down the hill.
Yes. No, we started. She was started there before I did, but like our family, like we just kind of became quick family there. And she was in when I did Stale Magnolias. She was my
Stale Magnolias.
Yeah, I wrote the drag version of Steel Magnolias.
And it was stale because it was
stale,
dusty?
Yeah, Stale Magnolias. Like, and it was like, it was all like 80s themed and everything. So she was Evelyn. She was our Evelyn. And then Waspy Caucasian was her daughter. So it was my friend. So it was like, she's like, you know, this tall black drag queen. And then her daughter is this tall white drag queen. And everybody in the show, except for my character.
And who's that? Drink Your Juice, Shelby.
Drink Your Juice Shelby. Yeah. So that whole premise of that was very what's that movie? I See Dead People. What's that?
Sixth Sense.
Yes. So at one point we like there's a videotape sent to everybody in the salon, and we put it in, and it's her feeding Waspy Caucasian Drano.
Oh,
in a cup.
God.
So every time she would be like, drink your juice, Shelby, and then Shelby would run off and puke. Yeah. So it was, yeah. Her hair was falling out throughout the show.
It's interesting, though, that like with social media, it's allowed a lot of performers to use it as a kind of a way to argue with each other in a really unnecessary way. And part of that is like, it's usually with people they know, like, Elaine Lancaster is a drag queen who all the time is like, these snowflake liberals, Trump is making America great again. And she's a working drag queen. I don't know where she's working, but there's photos of her.
I think she says that because that's the only way anybody would pay attention to her.
I guess.
You got to have your gigs.
She's lost some gigs, though, I'm pretty sure. Oh. I mean, she's also in Florida, too. So you imagine there was probably a lot of people down there.
She's ingratiating herself to all the old white people down there. Because they're like,
oh. People don't go after Elaine Lancaster. That's what, like, she said, you know, if you're going to call somebody out, another drag queen.
But she's also a hero. She rescued somebody from a burning car in Greece.
She set that car on fire first.
Oh, God.
We don't know. Allegedly. She's going to be like, Fausta, I'm going to thank you. In the pocket. What do you make of it? Like, why is this kind of behavior happening so much?
I think because it's easy. Well, to be honest, I think it's easy to just, like, look at something, get pissed, not even, like, I was just listening to something. There was an interview recently, and they were talking about how social media has made it so easy to just put yourself in a bubble and surround yourself by those opinions instead of actually reaching out. And I'm such like a moderate left leaning, of course, that like and a Libra. So like I like to like know both sides and I like to balance things out. And I think it's so easy to just find people to justify your causes and elevate yourself. And I think we've seen that on both sides. Like, I feel like the right and the left has like completely gone extreme in so many levels.
Using social media to persuade or using it to punish.
Oh, completely. Completely. Yeah. I think, and if you look at a lot of like, the causes of, mm-hmm. of queens and mm-hmm. like when they're going at each other, mm-hmm. they're not trying to educate anybody that disagrees with them. They're trying to punish them and make them submit to what mm-hmm. they believe is right.
Is this a consequence of sort of, RuPaul's Drag Race and, you know, reality TV show in general being a launching pad for a lot of drag queens' careers?
I think so. I think, you know, what I've noticed, and we get so angry about bullying in schools and our youth committing suicide and being bullied to death, literally. But then, you know, season 322 of RuPaul Drag Race comes out and we're going to go after this one drag queen because of whatever. And we end up bullying that person on social media. And I think we lose everything that we've talked about and all our justifications just go out the window.
But a lot of people turn to social media because they feel they have no other place to voice their dissatisfaction, their anger, their frustrations.
And I think that's lazy. I think there's lots of places to do that.
It's just not obvious to them at the moment.
I think it's harder.
Okay.
I think you have to get off your ass and actually go out and make a difference instead of sitting behind a computer and typing.
If you feel like we're coming after you, dear
then
queen
you
listening,
then you have a reason.
If the shoe fits, wear it. But what would you say to those drag queens who are putting a lot of fight me, I'm blocking this person. And you know, some of these people, Chris Pratt, Ellen Page right now, like yeah. Ellen Page is going after Chris Pratt because he's part of an anti-LGBTQ church. And he's all like, went on Stephen Colbert saying, I just fasted and I feel so spiritual.
Yeah. That I think is something completely different. I read both sides and I read a lot of the comments.
Sure.
And it's really interesting because a lot of the comments under the article that I was reading with her was like more on his side and the religious right. You know, she needs to, that's his, you know, opinion. She needs to leave that out of that and whatever. And what I come down to with that is that sexuality isn't a choice, whereas your religion and your faith is.
So shop better.
I agree. Like, church. You know what? Go Mr. experience Rogers the world. And that's one of my other things with the queens. Mm-hmm. It's like, go out and experience the world instead of experiencing it through your computer. Like find the tangible world and go out there.
Well, there's real bonds to be made when you're out with somebody. I think sometimes, you know, Fausto and I've had our difficulty with some of the drag queens in town, and that sometimes it's just we don't have FaceTime with them because we're working other jobs, we are doing stuff at home. Our interaction to the drag community is, you know, through our personal friendships with some of the drag queens, but also too is just, you know, from them coming here.
Right.
And doing stuff in the house.
And I think, you know, we've lost this art of conversation and it's just gone to confrontation. Mm-hmm. Like, instead of actually like talking within our community, we just start ripping each other apart instead of trying to learn from each other and being open to learn. Those are the two things.
But why is Coco Chanel so problematic? This is one of
She's the least problematic queen.
She's destroying this community.
She's tearing it apart.
Great. We're going to just like, just edit that in. Like just
Coco
that one
Chanel
section.
Chanel is the worst thing.
Girl, I love you.
I talk about Coco. She's one of the sweetest.
She is. And
she brought
so
me a bag
smart
of candy
and
when she came on the show.
It was feeding the bear. Feed the bear.
And I just thought it was going to be a little bit awkward, you know, having this really straight guy. And Brian, you know, suffers no fools. And Coco Chanel and Brian Sweeney connected so well. It was such magic, you know.
Well, she's another theater queen. So she has like background, like her performances our performances. Mm-hmm. Like we did the thing at Beercade headquarters where it was Frozen. She came in as Olaf. She came in full on
the
snowman, like yeah. blow up snowman thing. Like it was like, she got up there and danced to Ice Ice Baby. I mean, she was the favorite. She was like phenomenal. Mm-hmm. She can be beautiful. She will play ugly. There's so much power in playing ugly, and I think a lot of queens don't realize that.
Oh, and I wish more queens would, because there's so a lot of them are just so caught up in that ideal of being like this beautiful woman, and it's just like,
girl, if I see one more Marcel wave wig, I can't. It's all the same.
Silly. Don't you feel that you're being a little bit harsh because your experience on Camp Wanakiki, and you were seeing like negative comments on YouTube and social media? That's what somebody might dismiss your opinion as.
They have a right to dismiss it, but I think experiencing it firsthand actually justifies my opinion even more than just
you
my
said
opinion
that,
is
that
the
you
most
were
important
up till
thing.
2 in the morning sometimes with anxiety.
No, I would
camp one.
I would wake up at 2 in the morning, and I still wake up at 2 in the morning. Strangely enough, it's weird. I will never do reality television show or reality again.
What?
Yeah, mine coming up is not reality. it's partially scripted.
So you're
well, all reality, but it was partially scripted.
It was a video blog web series, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not
but bad. These, you know, the comments. It's one of these things where it's like it's so easy for people to just be dicks now, where it's like they don't and there's no repercussion because they're behind a fake name, they're behind the mm-hmm. computer, they're like all these things, and I think that's a big issue.
What's interesting though too is also too there's kind of like this weird diversity of opinions and ideas out there, and they latch onto little tiny things that you don't even give a second thought,
right.
and they blow it up as though it's the biggest thing on the
and
world.
You know, Kevi,
so it's interesting how people just latch on to certain things and they don't let go.
Kevi got a lot of flack, like with comments and stuff, and
no, I'm
like
not surprised
unfairly. But mm-hmm. then it's like you turn around and it's all these people like, I love Divine. She was so amazing. But then I call Kevi. Kevi's my new Divine. Mm-hmm. Kevi is like that's how I see Kevi.
She does and eat things off the floor.
She does. She don't care. She don't care.
Brandon Ashley asked me like, who are some of the queens I would recommend for Camp Wanakiki, and you and Kevi were like top choices.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is because you guys bring a lot of things that drag queens don't normally have into any kind of project.
Yeah.
You know, your theatrical background is something that we've seen with Jinx Monsoon or Alaska, but you have this really wonderful acerbic sense of humor. You know, people would compare to Bianca Del Rio or Don mm-hmm. Rickles to it. Whereas Kevi, to me, in a lot of ways, has the spirit of an artist. She is somebody who lives in this conceptual space in her mind, and she will go to death to fulfill it and bring it to life. And she doesn't really care so much about checking off this list of what other drag queens do. You know, like, you need to be feminine. You need to be lip sync perfectly. You need to be move graciously. Your costume has to be flawless. None of those things are important to mm-hmm. her. And they shouldn't be.
And I promise you will not understand a single thing she is doing on stage. And that's the beauty of it. I love it. Like, it's so conceptual sometimes. Yeah. It's like, I think it sometimes only makes sense to her. And I think that's beautiful. Mm. I love it.
She had a nickname and she was like a Snuffleupagus or the...
Oh, she was like our imaginary friend.
Our imaginary friend.
We had like all these like relationships behind the...
So on Sesame Street, they used to fuck with kids by calling Big Bird's best friend Snuffleupagus. And he was an imaginary friend that only Big Bird could see. And like, I grew up with that and was like, child psychologist pressured Children's Television Workshop to stop that because they were like, you're fucking with kids' heads, you know?
Well, I think it was also like along the lines of like they were making, they felt like they were dismissing mental disorders.
Exactly. And so finally one episode, all the kids and Maria and Louise and Gordon all met Mr. Snuffleupagus and he became part of the canon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and to me it was like a really healthy move step forward in embracing mm-hmm. different perspectives.
I always wanted an imaginary friend when I was little, but they were always so boring.
Because imagination was limited.
This morning, well, you know, my real friend.
My imaginary
Plus
friend growing up was Cindy Brady.
Off.
Cindy
oh, really?
Brady. I don't know why. She was just Cindy Brady.
Did you, like any kids, both of you guys, have friendships with celebrities as kids that you secretly held? And you're like, I can't let anybody know that I'm best friends with Henry Thomas from E.T.
No.
I did.
Wow.
Really? You were pretending like you had a celebrity friend?
Yeah. And I was like, I'm friends with Henry Thomas because he lives in San Antonio. And sometimes we visit my mom's family in San Antonio. And I might run into my friend Henry Thomas.
Was that like your girlfriend in Canada? I know, right? Oh my god, don't tell him, but wow.
I had a crush on Elliot from E.T.
Why not?
You know, he was cute.
Turn on your heart light.
Yeah, I wanted to touch his finger in the garage.
Okay, all right now.
You're an adult.
Stop
man
it
now.
Well, I was
stop
a kid
it
at the time, the same age, you know? It was like, I'm Sean Austin's contemporary. I never thought Sean Austin was hot, though.
I don't know who that is.
He was the from Stranger Things and from Lord of the Rings.
Patty Duke Austin's kid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You no just said, like, who?
No.
What is this?
Was he in?
No, what was his? Rick Schroeder from Silver Spoons.
Oh, he was so cute. Oh. What's he look like now?
Oh, he's, I don't think
he's
so.
Still, Rick Schroeder still looks
you good know who's actually really hot? It was the bully from Christmas Story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's totally hot. Titus.
He's like, oh, my God, Ginger. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, Rick Schroeder.
I was like, ooh.
Rick Schroeder has a beard. He's looking daddy good.
Oh, does he look good?
Let me
see.
Yeah, Silver Spoons is now Daddy Spoons.
Oh, okay, yeah, then I don't feel bad about thinking
he's a little man on the mountain.
Okay.
He's a mountain man, honey. The brawny boy is now the brawny man.
Okay.
And it's sort of good.
He split with his wife after 24 years, so
that's because he's in love with me.
With Muffy.
So All Stars 4 is about to wrap up. RuPaul's Drag Race season 11.
I don't know what that
is. With Chicago's very own Silky Nutmeg Ganache.
Yes.
And there's another, and Soju.
Yes.
Are on there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and all these other queens, Camp Wanakiki wrapped up and they're filming season 2. Cooking with Drag Queens will be kicking off soon.
Yes.
With a certain person.
Oh, I wonder who that could be.
It's not you.
Oh, well, then never mind.
You. Well, you're not kicking it off, but you are in this upcoming season.
Oh, well, yay.
Yeah, unfortunately, it features a lot of scenes from Camp Wanakiki. It's going to be great. You know, a lot of people have a lot of opinions of them, mostly like, oh, I can't wait till this queen gets eliminated.
Oh, my God. That was even a Camp Wanakiki. I was like, okay, this show is just supposed to be fun. We were supposed to be breaking that mold of that, like, that RuPaul, like, set out there and also Dragula and, like, stuff like that. Yeah. Because you were there that, like, you came and you were in it and, Fausto. And it was like, I mean, we were all just, like, so close when we were there. Mm-hmm. And it was
really sweet and wonderful. Yeah. And I wanted that feeling to continue, but there's an outside world.
Yeah. That's the game, you know? Yeah.
And there will never be another season 1. You know, it's like your virginity. It's your first love.
Right.
When you fall in love for the first time, you have this really warm and a very idealized view of that relationship that you're never going to get back again. Right.
Well, and I learned from being on All for Norga, which is a reality TV show I did this past spring, is that, you know, as people come up for elimination, you know, I kept thinking to myself, you know, small is beautiful. It means, like, you're making it longer than other people as they go away. And also, too, it's like how you feel about the situation's not going to change the situation.
Right.
So you have to just, you know, deal with it.
And that's one of the things, too, the whole 2:30 in the morning thing. It's like I'll wake up and I'll lay there and I'm like, what could I have done differently?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, bitch, nothing. What can you do differently now? Start your own show. Hey.
But wouldn't somebody like the Chicago's Bearded Lady love to live in a time period like today where there's so many opportunities and audiences and places to shine?
Yeah. I mean, and we are lucky. And that's one of the things that I feel like with younger drag queens that I always say, just produce yourself. We have so many places now that are non-traditional. You can go, like, restaurants. I mean, Jerry's Sub Sandwich Shop is hosting Ginger Forest. Storytime with Drag Queens, which is not affiliated with Muffy Fishbasket. Storytime with Drag Queens, the original in Chicago.
Well, it's good to throw a little.
It should be called. It should be called Reading with Hungover Drag Queens, right?
Sometimes their eyes are as glassy as yours are right now, there, Mark.
So, are you saying like sometimes if you go to Storytime with Drag Queens, we can see some hungover queens go, "All right, kids, this is where the wild things are." Let me tell you, last night was real wild in my bedroom.
I have had a couple queens call in, "I'm just so sick. I'm just, I can't make it." And I'm like, she's calling in with a hangover is what she's calling in with.
I want to do story time with drag queens.
Okay.
I'm so good with children. Okay. I was an elementary school teacher for 2 years.
Awesome.
I mean, you know, for an after school program, not part of the school district, but.
Then I'm sorry. They said, not qualified to do it.
Mr. Fausto, when can we have some popcorn? I'm like, I'm getting the popcorn machine going. We're going to get there.
They were hungry.
The parents call you. The worst thing about you are a public school teacher.
I'm not a public school teacher.
Used to be.
No, I actually work at a private facility.
Oh, private. Yeah. No. Sorry, clarify that.
Completely different.
A private school.
Private school.
And the parents call you to tell you that the kid's not coming to school. And I'm like, call the school administrators. That your kid's whereabouts are. I mean, you know, your kid's safety is my responsibility. Right. But, you know, don't call me at 4 in the morning to tell me that.
Oh, girl. I'm just getting home from the bar. Don't be calling me then.
We didn't have answering machines at the time.
Oh.
And I was
The answering machine is like if you watch The Deuce, she has one. That's in the 70s. So
they were expensive.
When was this?
They were expensive.
They also had the
answering machines up until like the 90s.
What was the other one? They also had the call services. Didn't you have one of those? Like where you would call the person, they'd take the message for you, then you'd call in for it?
That's like a New York thing, right?
We did that and we didn't have a call service, but we did have like a voicemail that you would have to press buttons to access.
Oh, yes, yes.
Pay extra for voicemail, right?
Yeah. It was crazy.
And then expensive. Call waiting was like the big deal.
Yeah, it was like $4 a month.
Yeah.
And you're like, Jesus Christ.
Do you remember though when we're totally getting off topic now? Do you remember though like when the internet started and you paid by the minute? Like you had like so many minutes.
Never my reality.
And you would get those AOL cards and you would just keep doing a new profile.
Yes, you keep changing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everybody's AOL had like 100 AOL accounts.
Yeah.
And that's where the...
you just change like one number.
Yeah. 69, 60, 70, 71, 72, 73.
Oh, God.
And you're like, is it 71 or 72?
Well, I'm telling you, that dial-up tone was like foreplay. Like, you knew you were going to get some. When you'd hear... you're like, oh, here it comes. I'm going to get on that gay.com. I'm going to get some tonight.
Did you ever hook up for sex on AOL when it first came out?
Never.
Using the chat rooms at all?
No.
I did.
You did gay.com? Yes,
I did. Of course I did. Of course I hooked up.
Do you remember what your first internet date was like?
Oh, God.
Like who the person was?
It had to have been. I was probably living at home at the time, so I had to have gone there.
Yeah, you went to the guy's house.
Yeah.
So you left the boathouse?
No, when I was 8 years old, I was hooking up with, I was only on there for like four, like between like when I was 4 to 9.
Your parents lived on a trailer
that's what I called it. It was like a floating trailer. Yeah. Basically it looked like a camper. I'll have to send you pictures. I have pictures.
You showed us.
Yeah. Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. When you came over to my house and I made you that terrible cocktail. I'm just going to throw this together. It was like all alcohol.
Oh, my God.
There was like no mixing.
And then it caught on fire.
Yeah.
Burned. And it was
what was your first handle on AOL?
I think it was Edgewater Guy. I still use the same handles that I used.
Do you know, I still use... Yeah. Never mind. I'm not going to say what I still use.
Well, anyway, so the guy that I met, he was in the closet. And we met at a coffee shop and I was in his car and I was just
classy.
Like, you are so not what you say you look like at all.
Because there was no photos. It was look at your stats.
Yeah. Age, sex, location. Yeah.
And I was like, thanks a lot, but this is just not working.
Oh, that was always, yeah. I don't know, though, that was always exciting to be like, ooh, who is it? Who's coming in? Could it
Mr.
be that person? Yeah, totally. Oh, my God. Yeah, there's like
sometimes you would have to turn them down. You'd be like, "I'm sorry, this is not going to work out."
I always say, "I'm like, I can't imagine being a parent nowadays because I know me now. Like, if I was like 16 years old, my 42-year-old boyfriend would be picking me up from high school. I can guarantee it. I can guarantee it.
Well, because those kids get on the apps too, you know.
But girl, my college would be paid for it. Let me tell you what.
That's right, honey.
Oh.
You would have the iPhone XR, some AirPods, a new laptop.
I'd have to like rent a space for the car that he bought me. Like, that would have been my life. That would, I'm telling you. My mom would have had a heart attack.
You'd be like, do you like my new Gucci sneakers?
She was like, but my mom was like, I mean, my mom was like one of those like, like, I don't want you playing Dungeons and Dragons because I don't want you to commit suicide and worship Satan.
Oh, what?
Like, that was like my... Oh, that was in the 80s. Oh. That was like that whole... Oh, yeah. So I can't imagine if I was like now and she was trying to... She would... Oh, that poor woman.
So for queens who are upset on who doesn't and doesn't get cast on this project or that show, yeah, or this podcast... And by the way... There's plenty of slots on Feast of Fun, honey.
Just come with a good story.
Come with a good story.
And a good attitude.
We'll take a picture of your talking points and post them on the website.
Oh, God, no.
So people can
see. No, I made notes.
I know. Well, it sounds like what a guest needs to do to prepare. Because it's like a lot of people don't even understand when they audition for Drag Race or send a press release to a newspaper, for example.
I think there's a lot of, and let me tell you, like, you know, Gen Xers, we invented instant gratification. So I think there's a lot of that, but even more so now, where I've had queens tell me that they were like, I don't get cast in anything, and I don't think I should have to go searching for it. I'm like, girl, they ain't gonna come to you. This is it. You're not Tina Turner at what is it? Girls Meet Girls, and they're like, I'm going to go to the Brown Derby where Tina Turner was discovered.
And then the next words out of their mouth was, "I need to see a manager."
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like, there's two words or phrases that I would like to see just disappear from our community. The first one is deserve, because nobody deserves anything. Should have, yes. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of like, I deserve to be booked. I deserve to be cast. You don't deserve anything.
Are you speaking about Latrice Royale?
No, did she say that?
She basically on All Stars. She did deserve to be on All Stars.
I see, but that and the phrase gaslighting. Nobody uses it correctly, and it makes me effing crazy.
Okay, so exactly what does gaslighting mean for the children out there?
Gaslighting comes from a movie.
Yes, with Charles Boyer.
And Ingrid Bergman. And he spends the entire movie, and Angela Lansbury.
Ah.
She was classic hot then, too. Mm-hmm. She played the Cockney maid. He spends the entire movie making her think she's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like people trying to make it.
He turns the light, which was
He's like, honey, could you turn off the light after she already did? So he goes, like, the maid goes around and turns on all the lights. And she's like, oh, my God, I thought it turned him off. So she thinks she's going crazy. That's what it's about. So it's basically
like giving people disinformation or...
Or making them think that their opinion is crazy. Mm-hmm. Or like, and people just use it in the most random things. They're like, I went to order food and they gave me the wrong drink and they're trying to gaslight me. I'm like, what? Girl, what? No. They like, it's just the most random things. Okay.
Well, my dog is gaslighting me. I heard that term used towards me because a drag queen was upset of something I've posted on social media. I think you had said, what happened to all the drag kings in Chicago? And Mark said, they all moved out to the suburbs, you know?
I said they all transitioned, is what I said.
Because the Chicago Drag Kings used to be a big...
They were the big thing, right? Yes.
And a lot of them stopped performing because a lot of them, in fact, did transition.
And
went out of performing.
One individual was really upset and came at us with a litany of things that were like, you know, like our Cooking with Drag Queens was... colonialist because we used the wrong recipe, that we were gaslighting her. And I said, what exactly is it about that? What is it you feel like I'm, what kind of, how am I trying to get you to question your sanity?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I said, listen, I'm glad that you're so passionate about the projects that we do. And I really think of you as an audience member, which you didn't like hearing that either. And I said, you know, I'm open to listening to feedback and how I can grow and be a better person. And she, her response was like, stop trying to gaslight me. Meaning, don't be nice to me because my opinion of you is the... is one of a wicked, cruel, toxic person.
So, and it will never change.
And no matter what you do, in fact, if you're generous and kind to me and empathic, you're actually trying to challenge my sanity because it doesn't align with the way I see you.
So why did you bring up gaslighting? I forgot.
I don't remember. You'll have to rewind and figure out.
It's a common term that you see.
It's just things that I noticed that, like, I think it was that, sure. It was off the, like, it was just ping-ponging off the whole, like, deserve thing. Like, mm-hmm. when queens aren't sure. put onto a show or things like that, it's like, you know what? This market is flooded, and I think Jade said it in the first episode of
Jade Sotomayor?
Yes. Uh-huh. And she's like, honey, anymore, we are so saturated, you can't step off the street corner or off the curb without stepping into a hot pile of drag queen, because we are everywhere. So... if you're not being cast in something or you're not getting the bookings that you want, there might be a reason why.
Well, like what? They smell?
Girl. That is an epidemic.
I'm a drag queen. I perform more in other cities than I do here. And part of me, I don't get cast a lot, but, you know.
Well, you don't search for it either.
And part of it is like, you know, I want to have fun and I want to enjoy myself and I don't want to be overwhelmed by too many gigs either.
Right.
And so for me, it's like when I get presented those gigs, I really treat them as a very special experience, like a birthday party or something, and put so much of my heart and soul into it because I want that audience to also experience that as well. And so for somebody who's like seeking out to perform 5 to 6 times a week, that can be very draining and very difficult.
Yeah.
And also juggle a full-time job.
Yeah. You know, and I come from in my experience and in like where I'm coming from is that I come from a theater background where not everybody deserves to be on stage. Like there's a reason people weren't getting cast in musicals or plays because there was somebody that was better than you. Mm-hmm. So that's where I come from. I don't know the politics of Boys Town. I don't know the politics really of a lot of drag communities because I kind of set myself apart from that and do other things.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not in a lot of traditional spaces.
Muffy, a garbage dump does not count as a public space.
It is not a garbage dump. It is the nice, comfortable, used mattress that somebody discarded in your alley. That is where I go.
There is one in our alley, and nobody's taken it away
yet. I want to do a photo shoot on it. That started a long time ago, like when we started our cabaret at the Spot. Do you remember the Spot?
Oh, yeah.
That was a great space.
It was right
a lot
next to the methadone clinic.
Yeah. Oh. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. That's why.
That's why I got so much business.
Mm-hmm. But that was those days.
That was always we always performed for straight crowds. So it was like the guys that were in the audience. I'd be like, yeah, "We're going to take a little break here. We're going on an intermission. I'll be on the nice, comfortable mattress in the alley if anybody needs anything."
There was this gay couple, Scooty and JoJo.
Yes,
that did these wonderful parody shows.
Mm-hmm.
The height of their career so far that I know of is they combine Freddie Mercury, Alien. Queen songs.
Yes.
With the plots of the first and second Alien movie.
And it was called Alien Queen.
Alien Queen. And Scott dressed up as the alien monster on pogo sticks heels in full drag.
Yeah.
And it was basically the alien monster, Alien Queen, with nails, eyeshadow. And, you know, and it was so well done.
See, and I never saw that one, but I heard amazing things. Mm-hmm. My favorite was their Carpenter's Halloween. So that it was Halloween good. Put to all Carpenter's music.
And they also did a Molly Ringwald. What was the Molly Ringwald one?
I don't remember called? That
it wasn't
one.
Like 16 Ringwald. I don't know. It was
like 16 Mollies or something like that.
It was 16 candles mixed with Mollywood. I don't know.
Mollywood. That's what
and
it
they
was.
They also did one. What was a transgender retelling of Tron called Trans.
Yeah. I don't know if we could get away with that today.
Not today.
Yeah. It was so
unless
good.
Unless it was written by trans.
Well,
people.
And that was the whole thing, like with our Annie-pocalypse. Like we had done like our we could never ever do Annie-pocalypse.
No.
Nowadays. No, because Annie was transgender.
Well, what if you had a trans person play it? Or is it just
I don't
not
know. I don't know. Yeah, it it's was. I different. Mean, this is yeah. It yeah. Was, yeah.
I don't think necessarily.
But we actually. And it was did, always a girl that you, played the part.
You
but,
did a
yeah.
show. It was post-apocalyptic Annie.
Yeah.
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 And in terms of like transgender characters and actors, I think the at the core of this is that we don't see enough writers or producers or spaces run by trans people that can, you know, allow for diversity of voices to flourish.
Right.
And so we have to encourage those things as you know, as when we see a show, go buy a ticket. You know, if you're doing a podcast, interview them like us. And, you know, if you're an artist or a performer, book them into your shows.
But also, like, in Hollywood, too, I think, you know, if there's a transgender character, it should always be played by a transgender actor. Like, that's...
And some transgender actors actually don't necessarily worry too much about that or necessarily... They want to see producers, writers, directors. They want to see people behind the scenes in those jobs. And that's, you know, what a lot of people, even like Ellen Page has said this herself, Kate Bornstein, a lot of writers and critics say, the problem isn't the actors or the role necessarily, it's the people who are creating all this stuff.
I can see that.
It's usually cisgender, white, straight men. And until that changes... Down the stream, it's not going to be that any better than what we're getting today. And so that diversity writer that one of the actors who won
I forget what her name was.
Three billboards.
Oh, I wanted to see that.
What's her name?
That was such a great idea to put out there, and I'm worried that people are starting to forget about it. But basically, if you're a A-list Hollywood celebrity, you can have a diversity writer that requires not just the actors, but the cast and crew, the producers, the directors, to be a reflection of society. If your name is going to be attached to a project, it has to reflect society.
Well, I mean, this is always, I mean, you look at all the way, what was the TV show? Good Times. I mean, it was like an all white, like writing crew writing for
like, and we see the
actors of color. I mean, it was
damn. You know, and everything, every single episode, something good happens, and then something really bad happens. And it's this, like, you know, high-low of tragedy, which becomes predictable. And I think that's part of the reason as LGBTQ people, especially in the 90s, we turned to theater, we turned to drag as a way of getting our voices heard, because we weren't seeing ourselves reflected, not even in the characters or the actors that we saw in mainstream media. And that's with reality television... And especially with web series, that's quickly changing. So what happens with live performance is that sometimes the urgency and the goodwill that used to be there is no longer there, because everybody sees live performance as a stepping stone into traditional media, as opposed to just another legitimate media and venue.
Do you remember the first gay-themed movie that you ever saw?
Oh, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert was a lot of fun, but I don't really, I came out at such a young age, I don't really remember.
Like, Cruising?
Cruising? Mine was Jeffrey. And then I actually got to play Jeffrey on stage. It was like one of the most, like I was Jeffrey at that time, so it was amazing.
I think I saw like a scene from Fame. It was a special episode of Fame where one of the gay characters comes out and then kills himself.
Oh, you mean not the
TV show?
The TV show. Okay.
Yeah. And Mark always makes fun of the AIDS cough when a character gets AIDS in the movie.
Well, you don't know he has AIDS yet, but he's gay.
When there's a cough.
And you're like, AIDS cough.
You know what, though? That was for real. Let me tell you what.
What?
Growing up in the 90s, it was like every time I got the flu, I was like, I've got AIDS. But like every time, like we can laugh now, but it was terrifying.
But even today, if you watch a movie and like somebody's gay and they have a little cough in it,
you're
it's like, oh, I want somebody to do a super cut of all the AIDS coughs of all time.
Oh, God.
Because you'd be surprised how often it shows up.
How do we combat the AIDS cough of our generation, which is the bullying, the toxic culture, you know? Besides just ignoring it or disassociating yourself from it, but you know, when they will be coming after you someday, somehow, soon enough, because if you're in their target, that toxic group of people,
right?
You know, and they behave very much like a gang of high school students who have nothing better to do than fuck with people.
I've had every once in a while, nothing to the extent of like some queens that I've like my friends that I've seen it happen to. For the most part, I kind of, like, I throw comedy at them and make fun of them. I've actually had, like, at Camp It, I had, like, two guys this past summer come after me who were, like, the toxic masculinity that were, like, Yeah, it was really interesting.
You of being toxic masculinity.
No, yeah,
in drag.
Yeah, girl, hi. No, they were, and it's like it's the gays that are like they don't like drag queens. I don't have a place there, like that sort of thing.
It's funny. So, but I did. Yeah, I was accused of being too feminine, and then as an adult, I was accused of being too butch. And part of me is like, I don't know where in this gender construct you made up.
You accused of now?
I don't know. It's not being pretty enough. And then in the past, I was too pretty. And it was just like.
Somebody said you were too pretty.
They said I was too pretty.
Hard being pretty.
They accused me of being a pageant girl. And I was like, what?
When did that was like in the early 90s?
You know what? I'm going to need to see a picture.
Yeah.
Photo where it didn't happen.
Yeah. Part of it is like, in the day, the dismissal was that you were too entertaining, too engaging with an audience, that you were not challenging enough for that audience. That the audience was not left with their head scratching going, what did I just see? And so if you were like getting applause or laughter from an audience, that was seen as selling out. I know it's so crazy to say that.
You know, it was, I remember like the 90s, it was all like, it was hard pageant. Like that was the only thing that like that would get booked were like people that either held a title or were in the pageant system. Mm-hmm. That was back in the day when you had to root your wig, when you'd spike those little things down onto your forehead and like glue them down because you didn't have lace front wigs back then. They also, do you remember also the hard white line underneath your eyebrow? That was
people
big then.
People still do that, don't they?
Yes, the twins do that. They're back from that time.
From Camp Wanakee.
Yes, they do that.
What's a little highlight to
just a subtle highlight.
And so, you know, in terms of like giving advice to young queens or how to fight that kind of bullying space, you know, besides just ignoring it or putting it aside, what else can you do about that?
I like to like come back and like make a joke so that people are like, I'm like making fun of the person and just turning it around on them. I've also done the thing where somebody will say something and I just like do the, if it's on Facebook or whatever, I'll just do the thumbs up. Heard ya. All right. And then just move on.
Got it. Recognized.
But you know what? I have also, it's very cathartic to like delete people and block them.
I call it the piece of a block.
Yeah. It's hard for me.
Or unfollow. I like to unfollow a lot.
There are some drag queens that are such a train wreck of that I can't stop unfollowing them because I love to see how, you know, I'll call her out. Elaine Lancaster. I'm friends with her.
My God, I totally unfollowed her.
Girl, not even just drag queens, though. Like, I have people that are just
watching the train wreck.
Not just drag queens, though. In this political climate, it's everywhere.
There was a rumor that Eureka O'Hara voted for Trump because the queens are coming after her and stuff. And she's like, listen, I follow Trump on Twitter because I want to see what Trump is up to, and that you can actually follow everything that Trump posts and deletes and the unfollow Trump account.
Oh, that's interesting.
So you don't have to give Trump a extra.
Did you guys watch the speech?
Why would I? Because
Nancy Pelosi. I believe you got to know thy enemy. I will give him this much credit is that for, I don't know who his handlers are now, but he stayed on that speech and it was the best he ever spoke. So I mean,
well, he just
whatever,
read a teleprompter. And at this
point, but he always
like,
goes off that shit.
He went a little bit off the teleprompter with like, this country will never be socialist. And Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez is looking and going, wanna bet?
It was so funny. It was the camera was at like the perfect angle on purpose, of course, with like Nancy Pelosi behind. And I was going to just wanted to hear like a little bit of it. I stayed for her because she is the queen of shame now. That side eye and that like. Girl,
I love that her daughter chimed in. She goes, that clap brought me back to my teenage years where my mother recognized me doing something like, good for you, girl. You really tried it, didn't you? You tried
it.
So it was intentionally meant to be sarcastic.
You know, it was funny, though, because then I started... I'm a fan of like talking about train wrecks. I love reading people's comments like on these things because you get those Trumpsters that come in there and they're calling her a cunt and they are just like, I mean, they're going off, but they're like everything that they're saying was it was so ironic because it's everything that's been said about Trump, but it's like they can't see that. Mm-hmm. Like they can't turn it around and be like, oh, I'm actually like Trump does this exactly what I'm saying that she does.
Yes, exactly.
It's a farce. It's projection. It's a farce.
95% of Republicans approved of Trump's State of the Union speech. And about, I think it, off the top of my head, I think it was like 60% of Democrats approved of it. And what, so we have a lot of work to do.
A lot.
If we don't want another 4 years of Trump.
Well, Newsweek has an article out that says that Trump and Republicans appeal to men with fragile masculinity. The research finds.
Ooh, fragile masculinity. What about that Gillette commercial? Was it Gillette?
Oh, yeah.
The razor? Mm-hmm. I was like, if you're offended, moved. Then you have a right to be. Then you should be offended because they're talking to you.
You know, as somebody who wants to see the good in everything, including cisgendered white straight men. You know, to me, it was a very moving commercial.
I thought it was great. And it actually, I don't think there was anything like, there wasn't anything like crazy in there that they were like, I know the one, the picture of the guy that his answer to it was like showing him with his sons and they're all holding guns. I was like, there was nothing
two
in there.
Two sons and a daughter and the,
but the girl doesn't get a gun.
The boy's wearing a little pink shirt and I loved it. And the dad's, you know, he might be a jerk, but he is kind of hot.
He is hot.
He's total daddy.
Speaking
material.
Of hot and people that are like crazy at killing people. What about this whole Ted Bundy thing?
Oh, how people
so
are
Netflix
hot.
So Netflix has issued a statement. Please stop writing about him. Please stop posting social media how hot Ted Bundy was. Because it's glamorizing a murderer.
And then some people are being like, he's not hot. But I mean, you know, I think for the time period he was hot.
There was a reason that he was like luring young gay boys.
And he's gonna be played by Zac Efron, who was, you know, hotter than he was.
Right.
But I remember the made for TV movie with Mark Harmon playing Ted Bundy.
Wait, pull up a picture, I don't remember him.
You don't remember Mark Harmon?
I probably
remember Space with Martin Short.
No.
Oh no, he was in Summer School. In the movie Summer School, where he plays a substitute teacher. And one of his students is a male stripper, and he goes to see him at the strip club.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Mark Harmon, you know, I think he's, you know, had a long career as an
I mean,
actor.
I'm not like, you know, you don't look at Ted Bundy. Well, I don't know. Like, whatever. I see where they're coming from. Yeah. I do get it. I mean
he's
I do get
super
it.
Super hot, but he's definitely like, I'll help you put this in a car and maybe let you murder
me. Right. He's not like Pogo the Clown. Yeah. Like, you know.
I just feel bad, like, you know, bombers and murderers and attackers and even, you know, anybody who's like out to harm anybody else, you know, talking about them, giving their name out there. To me, it like encourages other people to be like, well, this is one way to get, you know, Muffy to talk about me.
But I also feel like I feel like media has been a lot better about like not putting the names of like mass shooters out there and like just constantly. I mean, you can obviously go find them anywhere, but it's not like something they're putting in their news broadcast like constantly, like so and so shot at blah, blah, blah. Like I think it's harder to find, and I think that's good.
This is starting our 15th season of Feast of Fun.
Oh.
Girl, I'm getting old.
You tired, girl?
2007. This will be our 2703rd show.
Girl.
And I'm sure if you listen to those early podcasts we did,
I feel like I've been on most of them.
Yeah, oh, you're so sweet. We
in spirit,
said so many. We made so many mistakes, and yet our audience has educated and informed us, or we've grown together. And become better people. And, you know, when you do better, when you know better, you do better, right? So for me, it's like, it's been an extraordinary journey and a ride to be doing this for 15 years with the best person I know, Mark Felian, my husband,
I feel the same.
The father of our child, Jesse Pinkman, the little dog.
Where you at, Jesse?
That was good. You could play Sandy on Broadway. Yeah. That was so good.
My mother played a chimp in Little Orphan Annie on the radio.
And really?
Yeah, you know how she would make the chimp noise?
Right. That's right. She had
Sounds like a fart.
Well.
So right now, our computer said, I've had it officially.
It said, you'd better restart
me. We restarted over and over again. It's a lot of things. It's like replacing the computer. It's replacing the audio interface, the hard drive that it works on. And we're still in the process of getting Muffy's Cooking with Drag Queens episode up.
Yay.
Yeah. But, which is the most important highlight of this upcoming season.
Most definitely.
Yes. It was one of the cues because Mark and I are dressed in really cute costumes, too.
We're camping it up.
We're camping it up.
Thinking you were going to win Camp Wanakiki.
That's okay. Alexis P. Bevels.
You won our hearts.
Alexis P. Bevels was beautiful, and she did really, she did amazing.
Because at the final taping of Camp Wanakiki, I kept walking around to everybody. I'm like, Alexis was robbed.
I remember you saying that. I was like, oh my God, girl, shut
up. That's a spoiled girl.
She was. She won, and she was robbed.
The only one who laughed at it was Dixie Lynn Cartwright.
So right now, if you go to GoFundMe.com, Feast of Fun Computer, we are trying to raise funds to get up to enough money to replace our computer. And if we go over that right now, we will be able to replace the audio interface and the hard drives and all these other components that are very expensive to maintain. And I want to do a quick shout out to somebody who actually does their own podcast and web series, Johnny McGovern.
Hey.
And, you don't have to, because I understand his overhead is really high, too. And he gave us a little bit of money, as well as Matthew and Edward Clayton.
I'd like to read a couple comments, if I might.
Sure.
Michael
Are they bad ones?
No.
Then never mind. I'm out.
If they're giving you money, they're going to be nice ones.
I'd be like, I hate you. Here's $10,000.
Michael says, I have listened to Mark and Fausto since I was high school, 2007, and I look forward to listening to them until I die. Fortune told me that would occur around 2056. I'm okay with that. I wish I could give more, but I'm a poor graduate student swimming in debt. Live long and prosper.
And Raphael said, I hope you reach your goal and continue making great art.
And Alexia says, Feast of Fun always delivers a different point of view to current events and pop culture that a straight like me would not be able to get anywhere else.
Scott Ray said, I'm a good boy. Mm. And I know these guys since they were feasting on fools.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. You guys changed your name. That's when you had blue hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The thing about it is, it's like in 2019... we want to inspire you guys to make amazing art and to start your own web series.
Just do it.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to be starting a podcast on unlocking your creativity and also healing the bitter, cynical, gay spirit that's inside
of you.
So we're gonna start with Muffy.
Good luck. I have nothing inside of me.
It's gonna be like
I'm hollow and empty. It's a dark, dark void.
When they're trying to get the spirit out, you're like, nah.
What was that in Scary Movie when they throw the Tic Tac in her mouth? That's my favorite. I think that's the funniest opening. They're like, power of Christ compels you, and they throw a Tic Tac in her mouth.
Do you think that possibly as funny and wonderful your cynical, sassy side is, that maybe a little bit of that can be getting in the way of you connecting emotionally with people?
I don't have emotions.
See. So that's a yes.
Maybe.
So would you be interested in reading Velvet Rage alongside with us?
I was supposed to read that. Way. Somebody wanted me to read. Oh, I think it was Mark.
It caught on fire in your hands.
Yes. Mark Saltzman.
Do you guys know? Saltzman.
Yeah. He quotes it all the time. So I refuse to read it because he won't shut up about it.
Oh, did it change his life?
I probably.
Does he seem like a happier person? Does he seem more put together?
We might fail,
She lives out of her car, so I wouldn't say that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She's a sexy hobo. Oh.
I don't know this person.
Sexy. Am
I
friends hobo.
With her? I think it'd be entertaining and interesting and fun.
I would read it with you.
But
I do have dyslexia, so I have to have it beforehand so I can read it.
It's an audiobook, too. So
I would just listen to it and just repeat whatever they say. Awesome.
It's a practice.
And for everybody out there, I actually am dyslexic, so I'm not making fun of people. So please don't come after me.
But you just read words on this page. So
I wrote them.
Oh, so if it's other people's words, it's harder to.
Yeah, I actually had to do. So like even with story time, like I have to know what the books are beforehand. One of the most recent ones that I did at Christmas at Women and Children First. I think it's called the Christmas Truck. I think that's what it's called. Anyway, it's real. It's a cute, cute story. And so they were like, here, read this. And I was like, and the whole thing, like all of a sudden, halfway through, I realized it was supposed to be rhyming. I was like messing up the words. I was putting them out of order. So it wasn't working. And the author was in the audience. He was like, I love what you did. Yeah. And he was like super hot. Yeah. So it was, yeah, it can be really challenging.
I've always had a boner for Maurice Sendak.
I need a picture.
He's dead.
I know.
That's awkward.
He was great. He was on Stephen Colbert, and he was just like, what the fuck is this shit? It's like, I don't like kids. Greatest children's book author of all time. Where the Wild Things Are. I would love to dress up as in Mark's, you know, or have Mark come along.
That's the same as the author of Mary Poppins.
Where the Wild Things
What's
Are
her name?
Costumes,
What's her name? She hated children.
Travers.
She hated children.
Mm. Yeah, actually.
She was not a fan.
Do you know that she wrote like about 12 of those Mary Poppins books?
Yeah. Roald Dahl.
And they were like,
no, hated kids
too. P.L. Travers and Roald Dahl.
He hated kids.
And she was like, and those books, if you read them, they were like, I mean, well, it was British, so of course they were dark. But I mean, she would like break off her fingers and they would turn into cookies and stuff. It was gross. I mean, it was,
Mary Poppins. I think there was some racist stuff in there too,
probably.
Yeah.
So story time with drag queens happens where exactly? In Chicago,
all over. We just did it at
is there like a Facebook page?
Yeah, muffyfishbasket.com.
okay, so that's
you can find it on there. But we've been at the museum. I've been at Steppenwolf. Women and Children First will be at the end of this month. We also do it at Shapiro Ballroom, is the once a month. That is the
if the kids come over and they want to entertain themselves while they're waiting, do you give them politically incorrect offensive crayons?
Oh my God, I want all of those.
These are popular right now as a gift item. And they're kind of like, they're not by the same company that does Cards Against Humanity.
But like you said, they wish. Well, they wish.
So let's read some of this. This is the crayons with very sassy colors.
And they also have a holiday edition.
Which also, I haven't seen the holiday edition.
It's like, pull it up? One of them's like Drunk Uncle Red or something like that. It's just like,
the ones that they sell start off with Presidential Orange,
which is brilliant.
Privilege White.
It's my favorite. And
Insufferable Vegan Green.
when they were putting them out there, though, it was when they were trying to raise the money on the Kickstarter, I think, for them, it was they were talking about each of them. It was like, Privilege White, only available to our Caucasian customers. I was like, oh, God.
Your parents' divorce was your fault.
Peach. So good.
Statutory Grape.
Yeah.
Miscarriage Maroon.
Some of these.
Did they sell out?
The yellow one is Me Color You Long Time.
So wrong.
The purple one is LGBTQ LMNOP.
Yes.
The blue one is Boner Pill Blue.
Yes.
The brown one is Travel Ban Brown.
That.
And then the pink one is Self-Identified Blue.
Which I love because of the children's book Red, which is about the blue crayon that's mislabeled red.
Oh, so. Really? There's a book about that.
Oh, yeah. It's so good.
You know all the kids' books.
Well, yeah. There was my favorite story is did we talk about this in the last one? I don't remember. Because I think we talked about Storytime with Drag Queens.
Yeah.
But there was, I did an interview or something about it, and it was, I think it was North Carolina, of course, or South Carolina, probably North Carolina. And there's a book called Jacob's New Dress. And it was on the children's reading list. And it was really, so the Department of Education down there, whatever, they decided that they were banning that book. It couldn't be on there. It was too diversive. And so they replaced it with Red. Which is basically the same. Like,
same
it's,
concept,
it's like,
same
yeah,
idea.
But that, yeah. They didn't realize it. Oh so God, I was God. Like, oh, God, I love ignorance.
That's wonderful.
Muffy, it's always good to get into a childlike state of wonder with you.
Yeah, it's about as far as I've developed. So, in humor and
the kids are like, you're a peer.
Yes.
So where can the folks see you out these days? I mean, you've got the drag brunches, but you also have a lot.
Drag
you
brunches.
Have a lot of other stuff.
I'm going to be at camp at a lot this summer. A lot.
And you are actually joining forces with Austin International Drag Festival, and you're going to do
I'm really nervous about it.
Version called the Midwest Drag Festival.
So it's going to be the first Midwest Drag Fest, and Austin International Drag Fest is going to be involved in it. I do. Let me look those up.
Because I always love seeing drag in unusual environments, and when the drag can be like kind of like out in the woods or in a campground.
I know it's funny because it's It's actually in August, which, of course, is, you know, a wonderful time to be in the steamy hot woods in drag.
It, you know, but it's also, you know, Michigan has just wonderful weather, though, typically. So August could be like, it could be hot and muggy, but it could also be quite lovely, right?
It's usually pretty hot and gross.
It's usually pretty hot and gross. Well, you know, welcome to drag, right?
Hot and gross? Did someone say my name?
just like when you were super femme and pretty in the 90s.
Wait, I did.
You're too passing, girl.
I have photos. I have receipts, honey.
That's true.
And, you know, again, the concept of femme back in the day was not pageant girl. It was just that you're very gender nonconforming or a sissy or, you know.
I can't find it.
You could have put up a Craigslist ad and been like, you know.
It was a
CD.
Yeah.
All right. Looking for.
I don't think they had Craigslist back then.
No.
Yeah.
No.
We don't have any internet. If I remember
they don't have Craigslist now for
No,
that.
They don't.
Now it's double list.
Oh, is that the new one?
Yeah, that's
is that the
that's
new one.
Somebody was trying to convince Lady Bunny. She's like, I don't know. It seems too technical. I was just like, I looked at it, Lady Bunny. If you can handle Craigslist, you can handle this. She's like, well, I'll give it a try.
I'll give it a try.
Because she likes to line them up.
And, yeah, 10 dicks in a row. Honey,
good
listen, Lady Bunny is a one-woman welcome wagon for people from all around the world.
Yes. Oh, there it is. August 23rd through the 25th.
Okay.
So it's only like a few days. I'm kind of like...
practically September. It could be cold,
I'm kind of like trying to... It's more of a retreat. It's more of a retreat is what I'd like it to be.
So if a drag queen participates in this, will she get the secret tools on how to be an amazing, gorgeous, fishy, in respect to the pagan goddess who was named after a fish, not the, you know, pejorative term, woman, a gorgeous, a goddess amongst mortals.
I think beauty is subjective. So if whatever your drag is, I mean, honey, we've all seen yours right now. So you think you're beautiful. So I think you're beautiful too.
You have to look at the inner beauty, but you have to go real deep.
Girl, that's another show and another weekend at Campit. Let me tell you.
Gaslighting me, Muffy. Wait a minute. You're making me see myself accurately. That's not gaslighting. That's called therapy.
Oh.
She just read me.
My goal, though, is that it's anybody that comes that wants to perform can. Yeah. I do want to have, like, our show. They're going to... So it's a pole barn at Campit, but they call it the clubhouse. Yeah. You can't call it the barn because the owner gets really mad.
Why?
Because it's the clubhouse.
Okay.
But they're going to air condition it because it's not in the summertime. And so it's like, it's not really used. It's used early in the season and late in the season because it's
cool enough.
Is that
where cool people get together and take clothes off and have
no,
fun
that's
times?
Called the woods.
Okay.
Or the public shower there.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Is there a bed for old
No, they have they obviously have tent spaces. Some of these campers or these seasonals, they're nicer than my house.
My next door neighbor just got a camper and he's gonna be a seasonal.
Ridiculous.
So I'm trying to be extra nice to him.
Yeah.
Not that I'm not usually nice to him, but I'm
no, like, I mean like washer, dryer, fireplace.
Oh,
ridiculous.
Girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what number are we doing together?
Oh, I don't know. You can come. I want to do I want to do poolside performances where people just sign up and just give their music and we play it and they can
by the pool.
And then at night I want to have
Williams, honey. Watch
I'm
out.
Focusing on Midwest queens because we don't get a lot of attention. It's usually the coastal queens that get it. So I really want within our Midwest, I'd like to have one featured performer from each state.
And then for people who pay $250 for the VIP tickets, they get to stand in line for 3 hours to meet Valentina.
No. So we'll see if we can pull people in. I'm really focusing on not having RuPaul queens.
Yay!
Yeah. But we love RuPaul.
I do. I do love, and I love the queens. But again, it's like,
you know,
they take
that's
over.
Not be far from there is who lives in Michigan. Is who's the one that lives in
Ivy
Winters?
Whatever her name is. Winters.
Yeah,
she's only a few hours from.
So
it.
Yeah,
well, let's find her.
Tell her to bring her stuffed animals.
I think there's a lot of queens
it's
though
not
out
her
there.
Sex toy or sex life. It's actual squirrel that she you know, taxiderms.
What I love about area, like the Saugatuck and the Campit area, is that you have all the Chicago gays that come over there.
Oh, yeah.
But then you have all the Detroit gays that come over, and to see them kind of mix, because those Detroit guys, they're all crazy. I don't mean to gaslight them, but they're all nuts. And you know you're nuts.
I don't need to tell you.
I don't think it's gaslighting when you're just saying what they are.
I don't even know what gaslighting even means anymore.
I don't either.
Yeah, to me, it's like, don't smoke while you're filling up your car.
I saw somebody in Michigan doing that, and I was like, could you wait until I'm out of here? Those people in Michigan are crazy. Yeah,
that's trouble, honey.
Yeah.
God bless your soul. Muffy Fish Basket, thank you so much for coming on the show.
It's always an adventure. I never know if I'm going to be in trouble after this show or not. Who's going to come for me?
Well, it's who's
gonna, oh, my God. She's
Alexis
such
Bevels, who's listed here as Chicago's queen of camp.
Yeah. Let me tell you, Alexis Bevels, she is so problematic in our community. I'm kidding. There's a reason why she's called the queen of nice, because she is.
I know. We adore her here.
And nice because she's not, you know, sassy and Jaden.
Oh, she is. Oh, let me tell you. Let me tell you a secret about her at Camp Wanakinky. This is what I learned. I got some backstories for this. So she actually, I learned really quick. She will not shade a girl. She will not shade a bitch. She will not say mean things. But when she doesn't say something, that's when you know she agrees with you.
Oh.
So she'll let you shade them. She just won't say anything about it. She'll just give you a look and maybe take a sip of her tea.
Can't we all just get along? Muffy, it's so good to talk to you.
You too.
Thank you so for coming on the
you
show.
Too.
And
thank you for having me.
Cocktail waiting for
you. Oh. It's 12:30 in the morning. Listen, I mean, afternoon.
It's 6 p.m. somewhere. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, bye, everybody.